This is Jay Sekulow. We give you a full analysis of the debate between the president and Governor Romney and the emphasis on Libya.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
23 million people struggling to find a job. And a lot of them, as you say, Candy, have been out of work for a long, long, long time. The president's policies have been exercised over the last 4 years, and they haven't put Americans back to work.
We haven't heard from the governor any specifics beyond Big Bird and eliminating funding for Planned Parenthood in terms of how he pays for that. 4 years ago, I told the American people and I told you I would cut taxes for middle-class families, and I did. I told you I'd cut taxes for small businesses, and I have.
I think you know better. I think you know that these last 4 years haven't been so good as the president just described, and that you don't feel like you're confident that the next 4 years are going to be much better either.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This calls into question the president's whole policy in the Middle East. Look what's happening in Syria, in Egypt, now in Libya.
When it comes to this issue, I am ultimately responsible for what's taking place there because these are my folks. You know that I mean what I say.
I think the president just said correctly that the buck does stop at his desk. You said in the Rose Garden, the day after the attack, it was an act of terror. It was not a spontaneous demonstration. Is that what you're saying?
Please proceed, Governor.
I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
He did call it an act of terror.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, the great debate number two is now done, and we're waiting for debate number three, which I believe is next Monday night in Boca Raton, Florida. And, boy, we're getting real close to the election for the next president of the United States. And we're taking your comments to see where you think things are. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And we're going to go right back to the phones. If you are been holding on the line, thank you for holding. I know a lot of you have been on the line for a while here. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to speak to us on air. Then let's go to the phones now and get some more calls.
Yeah, we're going to start with Cindy calling from Illinois on line six. Cindy, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just wanting to comment. I think Romney did a pretty decent job last night, but I just can't help but wonder why he wouldn't bring up the fact that we've lost our AAA rating, you know, when he's talking about the economy and stuff, and we lost it under Obama's watch.
Very interesting point and a very good question that you've asked. And I think here's what you've got. It's just the nature of the questions, the way the questions were phrased, it was hard to segue back into that point. But listen, I think that's a very good point. That's something that on the economy should be addressed significantly. The way the questions were presented, let's see if we've got a soundbite on the, where we have the kind of the exchange on the economy, because I think that does, you got to hear the nature of the question. Now, this does not include the question when we play this for you, but this gives you the answer of what they're thinking and why they fit this particular answer into this question, number 23.
And then we have his own record, which is we have four consecutive years where he said when he was running for office he would cut the deficit in half. Instead, he's doubled it. We've gone from $10 trillion of national debt to $16 trillion of national debt. If the president were reelected, we go to almost $20 trillion of national debt. This puts us on a road to Greece.
Now, I thought that was a great answer by Governor Romney, but you're right. It sure would have been nice to have another sentence in there that said, and we've lost our AAA rating. Now, President Obama responds, of course. Listen to number 12.
When I took office, the price of gasoline was 180, 186. Why is that? Because the economy was on the verge of collapse. Because we were about to go through the worst recession since the Great Depression. As a consequence of some of the same policies that Governor Romney is now promoting. So it's conceivable that Governor Romney could bring down gas prices because with his policies, we might be back in that same mess.
So he's blaming low gas prices on a recession when the prices of gas had been low for 8 years under President Bush. We didn't have gas. We were not in a recession until right at the very end. And under President Clinton, they were lower, too. So, I don't know where that was going. And again, this is the lack of, I think, a clear, definitive thematic from President Obama on the economic issue. Again, if you want our Foundations of Freedom, you can get it at 877-989-2255. It's absolutely free. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
The American American Center for Law and Justice is committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's in court or on Capitol Hill, the ACLJ stands ready to defend the Constitution. And there's no better way to get the information you need than through the ACLJ's website at aclj.org. Also, stay informed through Twitter and Facebook, bringing you breaking news and analysis as it happens. The ACLJ aggressively works to protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. That's our commitment to you. Cornerstone of our mission since the ACLJ began nearly 25 years ago. The ACLJ on the front lines, and we want you to have an important resource free, our gift to you. It's called The Foundations of Freedom, and it includes the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Gettysburg Address. Get your free copy today. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Stay in touch with the ACLJ online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow provides you with the vital information you need to protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Through our daily radio broadcast, Jay Sekulow Live, you get the latest news, and we provide you with critical insight and analysis on the issues that matter most to you and your family. It's the kind of program that's getting a lot of attention and many new listeners, including former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
I listen to Jay Sekulow all the time in my drive into Anchorage. It's a 50-mile commute into Anchorage, and this radio show happens to be on at the time that I usually drive in, so I'm learning a lot from Jay and from Jordan.
Whether it's about the Constitution, the courts, or the halls of Congress, Jay Sekulow and the American Center for Law and Justice cuts through the clutter, providing you with clear and concise news and analysis that you won't find anywhere else. Join the growing number of Americans who listen to Jay Sekulow Live every day. Find out how you can hear the show by going online at aclj.org/ontheradio.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Libya became such a huge topic at the debate on Tuesday night. This next one is Monday. It's in Boca Raton, Florida. It is a debate that is going to be focusing on foreign affairs. So I expect there's going to be a lot of discussions about Libya, Egypt, the whole Arab Spring, what's going on in China. So we're going to have full analysis for you. We're going to get back into this funding of the Muslim Brotherhood issue, which again, Than, let's give everybody an update if they're just joining or joining the program late. So far, so good. When that money's not being released.
Absolutely. Kay Granger in the Senate, Jim Jordan, Ileana Ross-Layton in the House, they sent a letter putting a hold on this funding. Of course, the president can't override that, but Congress did what they could. They made it public. We are doing what we can, making it public. That funding has not released. And Jay, I think you're right. If it doesn't happen before the election, we win this one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to have to fight this right to the end, but it's we like a good fight. This is one worth fighting for, that's for sure. Okay, again, 1-800-684-3110 is our number. Let's go right to the phones.
Let's go to Ruth calling from California on line 6. Ruth, you are on the air.
Hi, Ruth. California State not in play, I might add, but go ahead, Ruth. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Jay. I don't have a question, but I want to thank you for your radio program.
Thank you.
I would like to say I would like to challenge every Christian out there this year to get out and vote, because I think that if we all band together and go and do our voting, we will be victorious, and we will keep America safe.
Well, listen, I appreciate you calling in, and we've got, and this is, I think this is the reality, that the American people need to be voting. I mean, there's just no excuse to not vote. Now, I'm sitting next to a captain in the United States Army. And when we send these guys like David overseas fighting Iraq, and then so many people don't vote, it's mind-boggling. However, having said that, I think each year more and more people are voting. I mean, we've got early voting starting here near our media center. They've got lines already. So, I mean, people are voting, and, you know, I'd say, yeah, get out there and vote. And David, someone served in the military, that's got to be a big issue for you as well.
Well, you know, the beginning of our Constitution says, we the people of the United States. In other words, the ultimate government in this country is we the people. And so in many ways, I think of it, when you are not getting informed about the issues, when you're not getting informed and then going out and voting, it's like a government official just choosing not to do their job, because we are the ones who are ultimately accountable. And I've heard many arguments against voting and engagement, but ultimately we the people have formed this union, and we the people are responsible for it.
Ed Than, what do you think about the voting in the key states right now? How big of a deal is that going to be?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. And I know, you know, Jay, a lot of times there's discussion on only 6 or 8 or 10 states because the polling suggests that those are the ones that are going to swing the election. And that's probably right. But, Jay, no matter where people are, they need to understand that if the polling is wrong in even one state, we're talking about an election that's so close that if their state would swing, it could change the election. So you can't believe the polls. You've got a civic obligation to get out there and vote no matter what they say.
Well, we're going to see. This election is 2 weeks and a few days away. So, again, folks, we want to encourage everybody to get out and vote. Let's go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
Let's go to Jonathan calling from Maryland on line 5. Jonathan, you're on the air.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, how are you?
Good. You're on the air.
Question in regards to the military personnel next to you as well. The question was, as a Christian, if we were to follow the example that Christ left us, which was simply do the will of the Father, he himself did not get involved with the political practices of his day, if you will, as in terms of voting, why should Christians vote?
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you vote?
I have once. Only one time.
Only one time. So you think that Christians should not vote because of a biblical admonition?
Well, I look at the example that Christ left.
Let me ask you this. You read the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul gets hauled before a trial. And what does he say? Hey, wait a minute. Don't sneak me in through the back door. I'm a citizen of Rome. I've got rights. He took his rights and obligations seriously, and he utilized them. What did Jesus say? Sure, he said, look, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. Well, if you're going to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, that's fine. Let's render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, but let's vote for the Caesar that we of our choice here. I mean, we live in a republic, for goodness sake. I mean, we want to make sure that we exercise rights that are God-given. I believe that the right to engage in the electoral process is one of the greatest benefits that God gives mankind, that we can affect our own government, at least to some extent. Obviously, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Father, but to not vote, I think, is... I'll be honest with you, Jonathan. I think that is a very inaccurate view of Scripture. David?
You know, Jesus did not come to this earth in a democracy. He was within the Roman Empire.
Right.
He didn't have the ability to vote. He wasn't part of the government like we citizens are. And when I hear something like that, Jesus never said, don't participate in your government. And when I hear people say they're trying to live like Jesus, I often I note that they're rarely also nomadic carpenters and itinerant preachers who are telling us that. So, you know, the idea that Jesus would not want us to participate in the government that we formed and are responsible for, there's just no biblical support for that.
Well, Jonathan, let me ask you another, take it a step further here. I mean, you're saying that, you know, as Christians, there's really no real reason to vote. So if you've got policies being enunciated that violate a biblical worldview and you have the ability to affect change in those policies, you think the biblical response is to do nothing?
No, I look at the instructions that the Bible gives. We are to obey God at all costs.
Oh, right. Obey God rather than man, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, but you think that voting or engaging the electoral process is something that would be a negative impact on your Christian faith or testimony?
I don't think it would be a negative, but I look at politics, in my opinion, as sort of the worldview of religion or the way things should be, and then I look at what Christ taught the church. What we ought to be doing.
I think you're selective. I mean, being honest with you, we're having an honest conversation. I think you're really selectively viewing Scripture. I mean, on that analysis, if you lived in Germany during the Nazi regime, you just would say, well, that's the government, and I guess we let them do what they want to do.
Try to get rid of slavery in the United States.
Yeah, we're not going to try to end slavery. I mean, you can't – that's not – you've got to put the context of the world we live in and look through a biblical lens. You cannot look through the lens of 2,000 years ago and say, well, that's what they did then, thus I do it, don't do it now. Because I assume you lose electricity. Jesus didn't use electricity. I mean, Jesus didn't drive a car. He walked from place to place. So, I mean, I think this is just way out of context. And, again, I think the beauty of the American experience is our ability to participate in the electoral process. I appreciate you calling, Jonathan. Obviously, fundamental disagreement. I do want to make sure, though, that people like Jonathan get Foundations of Freedom, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. These are the things you need to have. And you can get it at calling us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And Than, of course, under that scenario, your Office of Government Affairs would not have much to do. But fortunately, that's not the view we take here at the ACLJ.
Sure, for me personally, but also, Jay, for the billions of people around the world that live without the freedom that we have to express that faith. I mean, you want to say that people in those areas of the world aren't impacted by the freedom that we would have. I would suggest that Christians engaging in their duty to vote in this country helps us have that freedom, and, Jay, it helps us here at the ACLJ work on the behalf of those people around the world that don't have that freedom as well. So it's not just Americans that are impacted. It's Christians all around the world.
All right, we're going to take some more of your calls, 800-684-3110. Let's try to get through these as quick as we can, Than.
Let's go to Jamie on line 4 calling from North Dakota. Jamie, you're on the air.
Hi, Jamie.
Hey, for the last caller, Chip Ingram just had a series on that this morning, and he was talking about it is our responsibility to influence the culture, whether it's through discipleship, going out and winning new believers, or influencing the culture, and we have voting.
Yeah, I mean, Chip Ingram, I think, has made the statement. You've got it here. I've seen it from the call screen. And then, you know, it's our Christian obligation, our duty to vote. And I think he's absolutely right. This is the reality of what we're living with, and this is the world in which we live. And we need to make sure that we can make sure we are dealing with the fact that we live in a country where you do have the right to vote. And I take that right as an obligation. So we're taking that very seriously. All right, we've got another call. Let's get to it. We're going to talk to our next caller.
Yeah, it's Lucretia calling on line 3 from a big swing state. It's Iowa. Lucretia, you're on the air.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say thank you. I have a question. I just want to say thank you for the work you're doing.
Thanks.
I started a job where I'm able to drive around and listen, so I really appreciate that.
Good.
Especially when it comes to the abortion issue. I had an abortion in between my two kids, but, you know, God showed me at a youth event for my kids that He had that baby waiting for me.
Good.
you know, it's a blessing because I know that when I get there, she'll be there. But I just wanted to say thank you, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you for listening. We appreciate that. What we're trying to do is, you know, tell the truth of what's going on and deal with the issues as they are dealt with. You know, we can't do a lot of – we don't get to plan programs 2 weeks in advance here. We sometimes don't get to plan programs 2 hours in advance. We're following the issues very closely, and I appreciate you calling in on something that's obviously heartfelt for you, and that is the issue of abortion, which certainly played a bit of a role in the debate this last week, and we've got two candidates with two distinct worldviews on the abortion issue. Folks, we've got coming up a great interview with Andy McCarthy. He wrote the book Danny Danone, the deputy speaker of the Israeli Knesset. Danny Danone is going to talk about what we've been talking about, which is Libya, Egypt, what it means. And he's got a great book out, The Will to Prevail, about Israel that is really a must-read. Hey, I want to thank you for making your support known to the ACLJ yesterday through the internet. So many of you made donations. We appreciate it. I want to continue to ask those of you that haven't to do so, go to aclj.org, make that tax-deductible gift. If you want Foundations of Freedom, we'll get that to you too as well. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or aclj.org. That's aclj.org for you to support the work of the ACLJ. Back with Danny Danone in a moment.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's in court or on Capitol Hill, the ACLJ stands ready to defend the Constitution. And there's no better way to get the information you need than through the ACLJ's daily radio broadcast, Jay Sekulow Live. Millions of Americans listen every day, including former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
I listen to Jay Sekulow all the time, so I'm learning a lot from Jay and from Jordan.
The ACLJ on the front lines, protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And we want you to have an important resource. free, our gift to you. It's called The Foundations of Freedom, and it includes the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Gettysburg Address. Get your free copy today. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or online at aclj.org.
Be long. It'll be next debate's Monday. 15 days after that's going to be the election for the next president of the United States. I suspect next Monday is going to be a lot of discussion about the entire issue of Libya and funding of the Muslim Brotherhood, and we're going to go right back to that issue next week as well on our inbound campaign. We are close to 150 or 160,000 signatures on that petition so far. The good news is, folks, if you're following the situation, that money's not been released to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is amazing to me that it's close to the election, especially with all of the effort the president has put in to get the money released. They're just the momentum is on our way. I think we've got a winner here. We're going to get back to that next week on the broadcast. But we've got a lot of you been waiting for a long time, so we're going to do kind of a lightning quick round here. Let's go right through the questions and respond as quick as we can.
All right, let's start with line one. Tom is calling from Colorado. Tom, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to know from President Obama if Hillary Clinton, just a few days prior to this debate, claimed responsibility for what happened in Benghazi. What is President Obama going to do with her now? Does she keep her job?
I think she's going to keep her job, but I want to be very clear on what she said she was responsible for, because she said she's responsible for the security of the embassies that comes under the jurisdiction of the State Department. And that in and of itself is a true statement. What she did not take responsibility for was the President of the United States and her and Secretary Clinton and Susan Rice going out to media and to the floor of the United Nations and saying this whole problem was because of a ridiculous YouTube video. She never took responsibility for that, and that, to me, is the vulnerable point in all of this. David?
Well, that's right. I mean, when she did that, it did two things. Number one, there was a lot of commentary that by her stepping up and taking responsibility, that she looked like the only adult in the room, so to speak. And then the second thing is, I don't think she took responsibility for the post-attack spin because, frankly, that was spin coming from the President of the United States. She can't take responsibility for his actions. He was repeatedly in the most public forum possible blaming a video when by that time he knew full well
you
a video
went six times. That was bizarre. All right, who do we have next?
Let's go to Arlene calling from New York on line two. Arlene, you're on the air.
Hi, Arlene, you're on the air. She's not there now. She just hung up.
Let's go to Stephen calling from Georgia on line three. Stephen, you're on the air.
Hi, Stephen. Well, it may be us or it may be them. We may be having a technical glitch there. We'll try one more, and we'll see if we get the person. If not, we will be giving you our analysis for the next 6 minutes. Go ahead.
All right, let's go to Maurice calling from Minnesota. Maurice, are you there?
Hi, how you doing?
There we go. One out of four is not bad. All right, Maurice, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to speak up a little bit and be very honest and point blank about what's going on in the country.
Okay.
And when President Clinton was in office, we had entitlements. We had a lot of entitlements, and it did not destroy the country. What brought the country to the brink was the Republicans' party's 8 years, and nobody seems to take responsibility for that. We seem like that's okay. We can just push it under the rug and blame Obama that 4 years he hasn't took the country from the brink of death.
Well, what is it exactly during the 8 years of President Bush's policies that you think brought the country to the brink?
Do you want to know the honest truth? The honest truth?
Well, yeah, sure.
Sir, the war spent all our money. We had a
certain... So you think we should not have gone to war? I'm just trying to get your facts out. You think that the Afghanistan and Iraq were the difficult, the expenses from that bankrupted the country?
Yes, that's exactly what killed us. Not only that, but the disparity between the way that the rich are able to maneuver their money has what killed us.
So in that case, so we've got the war as an issue. The two wars were expensive, which they clearly were, and then the rich maneuver their money. So what would be better is what? That the those that are successful financially give the money to those that are less fortunate, just mandate that from the government? Is that how you do that?
No, sir.
Okay, how would you do it?
You have to be honest. And for us to say...
Well, I'm asking a question. How would you redistribute the wealth?
Let me tell you. By closing simple loopholes, and I mean stuff like we should not be having companies having manufacturing overseas with that type of labor. No, that should be...
So what should we... If a company has overseas plants and they're doing work overseas, we should what, close them down?
The work should be here in America.
Well, I think we all like work in America. Nobody disagrees with that. But what do you do with companies that have plants overseas, which just about every company does? Do we say you can't do business in the United States?
What I'm saying is that you have to change the atmosphere because this...
No, I'm asking, you want to change the atmosphere. I'm asking for a policy situation, Maurice. What's the policy you would put in place on companies doing business overseas? Would you say, I'm sorry, if you do that, you can't do work in the United States?
Companies doing business overseas, all companies doing business overseas need to adhere to the same standards that we have.
Okay, so I understand that. So if a company's doing business overseas, you say what? They should not be able to do business here in the United States?
No, they should be able to do business here.
Okay.
If they're overseas, they should not have slave labor. They should not be.
Well, look, I mean, the slave labor is, you know, it's because of the disparity with China, which President Obama's done nothing to curtail, and Governor Romney has made that a thematic. So, you express your opinion. I can tell you I fundamentally disagree. David, go ahead.
Well, you know, one thing people need to realize is that when you're talking about trying to have the same wages and benefits in China that is in America, who's going to buy a $3,000 iPhone? I mean, you know, one of the things that people forget is that one of the reasons why jobs have gone overseas is because the consumer goods that result become affordable, that average people can buy. Now, if we can manufacture something here at home and do it in a way that's affordable, I'm all for that. But, you know, the problem is we can't have the government on a top-down basis deciding and setting what wages are, because we've tried that in the past. Other nations have tried that in the past. I mean, Nixon did a wage price freeze in the United States. It failed miserably. Socialist countries overseas have tried that kind of top-down planning. All it does is it impoverishes everyone. The Clinton administration was fundamentally different from the Obama administration, that Clinton actually worked with Republicans. Believe it or not, Gingrich and Clinton had a working relationship.
They did. And Reagan and Tip O'Neill. All right, we've got one more call. We're going to go right to it. It's Benny calling from Indiana. Hi, Benny.
Thank you guys for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm an evangelical Christian.
Yes, sir.
I'm a graduate from Moody Bible Institute. Worked for Youth for Christ for 18 years. Belong to the Evangelical Covenant Church.
Yes, sir.
Basically a white denomination. But I'm going to vote for Obama in 2012.
Okay.
And the reason why is because by me being in the evangelical world that long, I know that the evangelical white church is more for the rich than for the poor.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's fair there, because there's and you sound like an intelligent guy who went to Moody, which is a great institution. There are a lot of, I will tell you, I'm right near our media center. I could list dozens of evangelical churches that have tremendous outreaches to the less fortunate and those that are in distress and those that are in despair. I mean, in this area where we are, where our media center is, I mean, it's happening all over the place. But Benny said, "Well, let me ask you a question. As a Christian, how do you reconcile the abortion issue with your faith as far as electing a president? It's a free country. We don't tell anybody who to vote for. Obviously, we only got about 40 seconds here. How do you deal with the abortion issue?"
Well, I don't believe in an abortion, and I don't believe in homosexual marriage, but also don't believe in helping the poor. 95% of black people all the time vote Democrat.
Yeah, I know, and I think that's probably true, although that's beginning to change. Benny, listen, I'm out of time. I appreciate your call. Call back tomorrow. We'll get more into it. Folks, again, if you want to support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org. If you want Foundations of Freedom, it's 877-989-2255. We'll talk to you tomorrow. They want to get my gold on the ceiling. I ain't
mine, just a matter of time. There's no better way to get the information you need than through the ACLJ's daily radio broadcast, Jay Sekulow Live. Millions of Americans listen every day, including former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
I listen to Jay Sekulow all the time, so I'm learning a lot from Jay and from Jordan.
Protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And we want you to have an important resource. It's called the Foundations of Freedom. Call now, 1-877-989-2255 or online at ACLJ.